It has been tough because this was the period when the Kenya was engaged in the struggle for a new constitutional dispensation. This was the period when regime changed from a regime which was a one-party state de jure to a multi-party state, from a complete change of government through the democratic process, and of course now the Grand Coalition. And throughout all this, the struggle for a new constitutional dispensation. I was appointed Attorney General at the height of the struggle for a multi-party democracy, and indeed one of the achievements was when I moved to Parliament in December of 1991 to remove Section A, which provided that the only political party would be the Kenya African National Union, KANU. So it has been a very tumultuous period for Kenya as a whole, but I'm glad I'm leaving at a time when we have a new constitution. I'm leaving at a time when all the legislations required to be enacted within 1 year to underpin the new constitution have been enacted.
Any regrets after this 20 long years as the Attorney General of Kenya?
But my regret is that we could not realize the new constitutional dispensation faster. Because when I was appointed, I did advise the government of the day, and indeed I did even craft a new constitution, which after many discussions within cabinet was reduced to a constitution, an amendment that touched on a few chapters, such as the reorganization of the executive, touched on the human rights chapter, touched on issues such as referendum, issues such as provision for legal aid for the indigent Kenyan citizens. I drafted, it was after long discussions, okay, whittled down, but at least what remained we could do. In cabinet, I published it, and to my regret, the ruling party at that time decided that what I drafted should be withdrawn. Now, to my mind, had that been accepted at that time, I think we would have moved differently, we would have achieved our constitutional faster, and we would have spent more time on economic and social development. As it is, we then discussed for quite some time the whole issue of how are we going to review the constitution until 1997, when I chaired the IPPG discussions, which led to quite a number of important constitutional and legal amendments in Parliament, and then continued again the same process after the general election of 1997 in trying to put in place a constitutional review process.
Several people in Kenya have said that it was Amos Wako who was unable, for some reason, to ensure that graft or corruption is dealt with or removed from Kenya's politics. They blame you for the graft that has been entrenched in Kenya. Do you think those criticisms are justified?
Absolutely not justified. A number of those allegations are without foundation. I think if you had to ask the same people today, they would recognize that it was not the Attorney General. And this is a basic mistake that was made by Ambassador Johnny Carson and Ambassador Mike Ranabaga. The fact people now do recognize where the problem lay. The problem lay in a dysfunctional criminal investigations department, which is charged with the responsibility of investigating cases, and which did not carry out proper investigations, either because they were unable to do so or because of pressures from the political class. And mark you, in Kenya, unlike probably the United States of America, the Criminal Investigation Agency is not answerable to the Attorney General. The Attorney General is simply a prosecutor and not an investigator. And he has no powers whatsoever to rein in on the investigation department. And then, do not forget, there was also corruption in the judiciary. and the few cases of corruption when the Kenya Anti-Corruption Commission had been put up, which we brought before the court. The court then began making unconstitutional and, I must say, judgments which do not hold water, either injecting me from prosecution or even stopping prosecutions altogether, or even from saying that the corruption agency does not have the capacity to request for mutual legal assistance. And all the records are there. My reports in Parliament are very, very clear. What is important, as far as the prosecutor is concerned, that's me, who was caught in the middle between a dysfunctional criminal investigations department and a corrupt judiciary, is one, that with the new changes that came, and with the emphasis on priority in police reform and priority in judicial reform, we are beginning to see changes. And the prosecutions that I embarked on at the beginning, of important people, of ministers, of permanent secretaries, of chiefs of statutory corporations, and indeed, I do not think you can find any country where a large number of people at that level are facing charges in court. And for a prosecutor, the most important time is, should I prosecute or not? So if you can withstand pressure and decide to charge them, I think you have done your bit. Now, the most important thing here is that a number of these decisions, which were very unfavorable to the prosecutor, to the government, are now, because of the reforms that are now taking place in the judiciary, being reversed by the court itself. And as they are reversed, the hearings have begun. And if you're in Kenya today, even on agro-leasing, some of the hearings are taking place. That's number one. Number two, the investigators at times also had their own problems because they were not getting the necessary cooperation from the overseas or foreign competent authorities. And one of the greatest culprits here is the United States of America. When you talk about agro-leasing, the directors of the agro-leasing, the people behind it, and the people who are operating very actively in Kenya, were citizens of the United States of America and are there in hiding in the United States of America. And the FBI and others can do nothing if those persons decide not to cooperate with the investigations being carried out by the Kenya Anti-Corruption Commission. So, as Ambassador John Carson and Mike Ranabagger try to simplify the whole thing and just throw the blame on one, they should realize that actually part of the problem is their own government. Maybe their own laws, which cannot force them to compel cooperation of some of their citizens with an investigation going on in Kenya. And this is not just on agro-leasing. It's on other major corruption cases and scandals that we have had in Kenya, such as the Kenren, such as the fourth All-African Games, and so on. They have involved citizens of the United States of America.
You were found to have been one of the people the U.S. accused of thwarting or preventing much-needed reforms demanded by Kenyans, which some people say led to you being prevented or barred from entering the United States. Do you think those allegations are justified?
Those are the allegations that are completely unjustified. And Johnny Carson, Ambassador Johnny Carson, and Mike Ranabagger waged a very spirited campaign against me based on these false allegations. A number of members of parliament were flown to America and told WACO must go by the State Department. And the fact of the matter is, as I've told you, the allegations were baseless. And that's why those allegations never succeeded. I can tell you that even the revocation of the visa was meant to be part of the process of getting rid of me from government. And Ambassador Johnny Carson was simply carrying on what he mistakenly believed when he was here as an ambassador, that I'm the one responsible, that all the sins of the government must be visited on the Attorney General. Fortunately, the people here knew better. Parliament knew better, and their effort to get some members of Parliament to pass a vote of no confidence in me came to naught. Absolutely came to naught. And then I continued, being the Attorney General, I continued to play my role in the constitutional reform until we obtained a new constitution, and I've resigned in order and in peace.
Well,
the fact that the efforts failed must surely be an indication that there was something wrong with the analysis of their problems in Kenya.
Some people will say, if those allegations were wrong, why didn't you make any effort, including meeting Ambassador Johnny Carson, or for that matter, the U.S. Ambassador to Kenya, to explain your position? Because obviously, even some Kenyans agreed that you were a stumbling block to the much-needed reforms demanded by Kenyans after the post-election violence.
I can tell you, okay, some Kenyans may have agreed out of ignorance, but let me tell you, a number of them agreed because they had their own personal political agendas to promote. And that will come out in my memoirs. They had their own agendas to promote very, very clearly. But the fact of the matter is that overall, their efforts failed completely. And my solace is that I was able to withstand all that pressure from the United States of America officials, led by Ambassador Johnny Carson and Ambassador Ranabaga. I can also say that I did put in writing my objections to both Ambassador Johnny Carson on this issue. It's not that I did not confront them. I did confront them on the matter. But somehow I think it was within their scheme of things or within their plans that a few people like Amos Wako must be out of the system.
When should people expect your memoir to come out?
Now, still on that one, I can tell you that a special effort by the same Ambassador Johnny Carson and Mike Ranabaga, that when they revoked me around that time, that I should not be the president of the United Nations Durban Review Conference, which, you know, is a very big conference, and so on. They tried to rein in the African government, rein in everybody, and so on. But all those attempts failed because I think they know me. They knew me as a reformer. They knew me as a human rights activist, a reformer within, who has a good record, even internationally, on issues relating to human rights. And consequently, I was elected unanimously by acclamation as the president of the United Nations Durban Review Conference on racism, racialism, xenophobia, and other related intolerances. Let me tell you this. Some of the people who at that time, because of their own political interests, were sort of agreeing with America because America can exert some pressure. If you talk to them today, they'll tell you that, you know, Wako is not the type of man who was portrayed by the Americans. On this one, the Americans must admit they failed. And I've retired very honorably. A number of parties have been held, even by the Law Society, the Bar Association, by the state office, and there are many, numerous groups, even human rights groups, on my departure, in my honor. So I retire a very peaceful man who knows that history will judge me correctly as one of the greatest reformers that Kenya has had, a reformer from within, not a reformer from outside.
So are you therefore saying that with all the allegations that have been leveled against you over the 20 years of your service to Kenya, it's just a simple matter of you being misunderstood or your work being misconstrued by others?
It's a combination of both. It's really a combination of both. But it was a very volatile time in the Kenyan politics, I can tell you. So one can easily be misunderstood, and others can be out of ignorance and so on. But I can tell you that in the last few years or so, people have now come to, as you settle down properly under the new constitutional dispensation, people are now coming to realize who Amos Wako is, a great reformer. I've no doubt about it at all. That's what I am, and that's why God has been gracious enough to enable me to preside over this very tumultuous period of Kenya successfully, up to this time that I'm gracefully now retiring.